Have you ever wondered how sound can heal, inspire, and transform your life? What if the vibrations around you could unlock your true potential and guide you to a deeper sense of harmony? Welcome to Sound Pathways, the groundbreaking journey into the healing power of sound, creativity, and connection with your host, Dr. Karen Olson. In each episode, she explores the profound link between your mind, body, and spirit. From composers and musicians to sound healers and visionary leaders, she'll dive into captivating conversations that reveal how sound shapes your reality, heals our wounds, and helps us manifest our dreams. And guess what? You're part of the conversation. So call in and ask questions and experience personalized sound healing live, and let your sound be your guide to the life you've always dreamed of.
Hello, I'm Dr. Karen Olson, and I want to welcome you to Sound Pathways, where we explore the creative process, the power of music, and the stories that shape who we are, so we can create the life of our dreams. Tonight's conversation brings music, meaning, and real-life inspiration together. It's the fearless fusion, Charu Suri's journey of sound, service, and soul. I love bringing a little creative process shop talk into these conversations, especially as I began a collaboration with Indie Collaborative, and I always connect it to real life inspirations for anyone creating their dreams and bringing more harmony to the pieces of their lives. Today, I am joined by the amazing pianist and composer Charu Suri. Charu blends Indian ragas with jazz and global influences in a voice that's fearless, soulful, and deeply uplifting. We'll explore her roots, her journey, and the heart behind her music. I'm truly honored and grateful to know her. I've heard her perform many times, and I can't wait for you to experience her exceptional artistry and heart. Charu, I want to give you a very warm welcome to Sound Pathways.
Because we are all coming to a point where we're so frazzled and so stressed, we don't even have the ability to slow down and truly inhale and admire and appreciate the beauty of a flower. I mean, we're so, you know, frazzled. We've come to that. So Cheyenne is really a call to respect and your body and your mind, to slow down, to be human, to appreciate, to savor, to linger, to sleep better. So that's how the whole thing was born.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Karen. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait to know even more about you. I was able to learn a little bit about your roots and your story and your transition between the two cultures when you came here. But I'd love to know about your roots and your South Indian upbringing and where your early values for music and all of your experiences, where they came from, how they started.
Absolutely. And I'd love to share. So I was born in South India in a beautiful town called Madurai. It's a city of poets and temples. And my parents were so much devoted to culture and the arts. My grandmother was a nightingale. She sang Carnatic music, which is the traditional music, every day. I grew up in a blessed household full of music and painting and the arts and culture. It was beautiful. And my parents really saw that I had a thing for music. And my father, after I was born, he shortly had a job. He got a job in India, in Nigeria, in Africa, as the CEO of a record label. So he shipped us all off when I was 5 years old to Africa.
Oh, I know, goodness.
It was amazing.
I didn't know.
And in the house that we lived in Africa, I know, that was really where I had my start. We had a beautiful house, a bungalow with a piano. Oh, and we had a turntable where he would bring home record after record after record, because he was the CEO of a record label. And we listened to all sorts of genres of music from when I was five. I remember listening to everything from pop to ABBA to Boney M to Miles Davis every night and Beethoven at that turntable. And then I had the piano at home, and my mom said, Charu just started playing piano and she never quite stopped. So they started giving me lessons there, and I started performing and continued when I came back to India a few years ago. My family re-immigrated back to India,
Really?
this time to the big city of Chennai, which is where I did all my schooling. And then they knew at that point I was a prodigious pianist, and so they tried to find the best piano teacher in India, and they did. She was an amazing pianist called Geeta Menon, and she gave me such an amazing schooling in music. So I grew up learning Carnatic music and singing. I grew up playing Chopin and Debussy and
Wow.
everything, and also learned how to do orchestration and scoring by the time I was like 9. Yeah, so that
That's
was my
so
brilliant childhood.
fascinating. And how are you so adept at all the ragas and the Indian music and culture? How were you trained to do that?
I learned from a wonderful master by that when I was very young. When I came back to India, I got schooled in singing Carnatic music, and I played the piano, all of Chopin and Mozart. So tandem, I had the schooling of Indian classical music while I
Wow.
was mastering Western classical music. So that was sort of my journey ever since I was. I had always straddled two worlds, and I always tried to learn two worlds. So for me, both of them kind of became separate, but not separate.
Wow, that makes so much sense. You're this bright, shining star, and all the stars lined up that you had this amazing gift and the opportunities and the different cultures, and you just assimilated it all. It's just with your big heart, your parents must be so proud.
They are. My dad passed away a few years ago, and
Oh, I'm sorry,
I
Dee.
composed an album for him called Ragas and Waltzes, and because he gave me the gift of Indian ragas and waltzes. So in our household, we would celebrate Western music by always listening to Strauss waltzes and Vienna Philharmonic, etc. And he would also give me that gift of introducing me to raga. So he took me to hundreds of concerts explaining this raga and that raga and this raga. And at the same time, he was the one, as the CEO of a record label, he had always had like this encyclopedic knowledge of music, turned me on to the beauty of Chopin waltzes and Strauss waltzes. So my first album when he died was actually called Ragas and Waltzes as a tribute to him. So I actually married the Indian ragas in waltzes. Because that's how I remember Dad and
Wow.
my childhood.
Was he ever involved in a recording since he
He
knew so much
wasn't.
about it?
He always knew and supported, and he knew about my performances and Carnegie Hall performances. And my mom has come to them twice, but unfortunately, my dad hasn't. And it's like one of those things where I feel like he's always watching over me.
Yeah, hearing you and applauding and cheering you on, definitely. Could you help people understand what a raga is?
Raga is a modal scale. So I always say that we are so used to playing pieces with Western scales, 12 notes up and down. Raga can be 7 notes up and 5 notes down, or 8 notes up and 3 notes down. There's over 500 of them. And the most amazing thing about ragas is they're so deep. It's not just about the notes, it's about the nuances and the layers. And each raga is supposed to be played at a certain time of day, giving it even more depth and hyper quality, like to be mindful of the moment. So a raga is just way more than a scale, way more than a modal scale. It's got so many layers. It's its own dynamic being. It captures the energy of a time of day. It captures also the human and emotional energy. So that's what I say.
So, in a practical sense, would a household that was very spiritual and musically inclined choose a time of day to sit and play those ragas? Like, how often throughout the day? Or would it be at a restaurant setting or in a spiritual gathering place? Or how would they practically be used?
So I think you should, one should think of a raga just as scale. So raga can be used as the basis for composition songs. And many people, when they're listening to a piece of music from India, classical music, they won't always know what the raga is. But chances are, if you're listening to a classical concert in India, that piece you're listening to is based on a raga. Chances, there's a high chance. So people will just sing songs and will not realize that that is a song based on raga. Hamsidvani or Raga Kalyani or Raga Todi, and we would play it everywhere, concert halls, temples, etc. The beauty of Indian music is it's actually not harmonic, and a lot of people don't realize that. It's melodic and percussive, so you have the rhythm section and then you have the melody, but the harmonies are a very Western thing. Like they come from the church, the soprano, alto, tenor, bass. So for an average Indian going to a concert, they're probably singing a song based on a raga.
Beautiful. Are the rhythm, they're also organized. And what is that called? The rhythms?
Tala. Tala.
Ah, wow. That's really exciting. So for you, it wasn't even a matter of bridging different worlds because you just emulated the bridge. You are the bridge.
I lived the bridge. I lived the bridge, yeah.
And you'd share
It
it.
was something. Yeah, it's so interesting that now that you think of, and now that I think about it, that's makes sense how my jazz sounds like that too,
Yeah,
because
that's what I want to ask about how you got into jazz.
yeah, it's a very crazy story. Because after I came to the United States, I went to New Orleans for the first time, and I'm my other life, I'm a reporter, so I was reporting a story there on New Orleans, and I went to a concert given by Preservation Hall Jazz Band, and I just loved it. And I said, "This moment is it. This is what I was born to do. I was born to do jazz." But I wanted to put my own Indian heritage in it, and that's how the whole, gradually over a year, as I started to dip my fingers more into jazz, the whole idea of improvising with ragas sort of like organically came because I didn't realize first I was doing it, and then everyone's like, "Your jazz sounds very different, I just hope you realize that this is not like the normal way people write jazz." I said, and I had to backpedal and figure out what was I doing, and then I was like, "Okay, I was probably ragifying something."
But then you add some harmonies in now.
Oh yeah, now my ragas, which I tried to really learn and try to play on the piano, because not all ragas can be played tonally. Some are microtones in it. I add those harmonies, and even my classical music teacher says, "I don't hear that raga anymore because the jazz harmonies have completely changed it, and you've almost made it like a different being." So it's been very interesting to see that evolution, and it came about as an evolution, really.
Wow, so we need
It
to
didn't
create
come about.
a name for your genre.
I call it raga jazz.
That sounds really, really, really great. And how does do you use much improvisation and storytelling?
Yes, I think just with any good jazz structure, we go with the form. Almost all my pieces have a form, like AABA or ABA, and then I have the melody and the bridge, and then we improvise over it. It's pretty structured.
Wow, that's so cool. So I want to know everything about your latest album, Cheyenne, which, am I saying that correctly?
Cheyenne.
Cheyenne, yeah. And I was able to experience it. It's so special, and now it makes even more sense. And it's Grammy nominated, and we are voting, so we're hoping it's Grammy, it receives a Grammy Award, but it has merits on its own, no matter what. And I'm so happy that it's gone this far and it's going to continue to expand. So I'd love to know how that, I know that you have some focus and some intention for the people listening. And so if you could explain how it all came about and how you composed it, what came first, I'd love to know more about that, everything about that album.
So the Cheyenne was written as a tribute to my it was actually written not as a tribute, more as a balm, medicine for my mother who had trouble sleeping after my dad died. And I saw her popping a lot of pills to sleep better because of her stress and anxiety. And we've certainly gone through a lot of stress in our lives with the sociopolitical scene and all of the turbulence in the political landscape. And I was touring constantly, and I wanted something super tranquil and beautiful and calm to latch on to, still using my sort of trademark, if you will, of using ragas because I just lean into them. But I wanted to compose an album that had a lot of beautiful stillness and luminosity and to encourage people to slow down and unwind at night. And so I dove into the world of evening ragas because they're a world into themselves. There's like melancholic ragas, like Raga Jog that I used. I wrote a cello solo for the cellist Tess Remy Schumacher, who's on the album. There's bright
Beautiful.
and cheery ragas, like Raga Durga, which is the pentatonic scale. And then there's one of my most favorite ragas, Raga Kalyani, which is the title track, which is akin to the Lydian scale. It's a sharp four. So I put an assortment of Indian ragas and I explored them layer by layer. And I started off the whole piece, how it came about was I composed this piece called Nightingale after I heard a bird sing using the evening raga Bageshri. And it had all of those beautiful pentatonic runs, raga Bageshri. And then that was like my first track that I wrote on this album. And I asked Jim Kimo West to play the guitar. And the rest of the album sort of wrote itself. I don't have a formula or prescription as to how it evolves. Usually, I go by very strong emotional connection to an album. That's how ragas and waltzes were born, dedicated to my dad. That's how rags and ragas was born. It's my love letter to New Orleans. And Cheyenne is a medicine, raga. Panacea for people to sleep better using evening ragas and discovering, like almost petal by petal, the beautiful layers of evening ragas can give you unbelievable amounts of calm right before bedtime. And that was a therapy for my mom, it was a therapy for me, it was a therapy for my listeners, because we are all coming to a point where we're so frazzled and so stressed, we don't even have the ability to slow down and truly inhale and admire and appreciate the beauty of a flower. I mean, we're so, frazzled. We've come to that. So Cheyenne is really a call to respect and your body and your mind to slow down, to be human, to appreciate, to savor, to linger, to sleep better. So that's how the whole thing was born.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I would love if you could share. It would be so inspirational where your instinct to lift others up comes from because it's so powerful. I know how you're so gracious and kind to me and all the gatherings always, oh, it's really powerful. And if you could share, I know you share with me a story about how kindness became such an innate intention for you. If you could share about when you came here and that deep desire to help people, especially those who might feel like they're not fitting in or it's not all happening for them.
I would be glad to. I've had a lot of negative people and unkind people and bullies my way. And being me being kind is something that comes innately because I my father always taught me to be kind. The karmic cycle, like you open doors for people, you lift people up, and so I've always been very giving and nurturing. But I've had a lot of people. Initially, when I first came, and I didn't really know, the culture, etc. I've had people, say nasty things about my work and about me, etc. And I was just like, I told myself, I never ever want to be that person. I never want to be that person who always puts their down. And I had to go through that pain, that scarring of like being ridiculed. And even when I was starting out in my musical journey, it was like What is she doing? Like, what is this? Like, I had promoters and agents saying, I can't see this on the radio. I can't hear this on the radio. Well, several radio chart-topping singles later, I'm glad I kept going and didn't listen to that person. And I think we've all been in that situation where people tell us we can't do it, we can, this is not a sound you're going to hear, this is not something people will want. I think we've all been there, and I always remind myself that the true reason I still exist is because people opened doors for me. People were kind to me. Mozart wrote those symphonies. Debussy composed his, suite. Beethoven pushed the boundaries of sound. The reason I continue to still exist and push forward were because of these giants who did it for me, even though they didn't know they were specifically doing it for me. And I told myself, I will not stoop to that level of putting someone down. I want to be the one that lifts others up. So that's where that whole strength comes from, because I've been through the mud. I think we all have in some way, shape, or form. I've heard it time and time and again. Every single musician and artist has come to me with that story of being put down, felt like they were never enough, that they could be better, they weren't deserving. And we've all been there. And I said, but I'm, it's like that Taylor Swift song, Mean, which is one of my favorite songs. I don't know if you know that. It's like, why do you got to be so mean? You don't have to be mean to succeed. You can be kind to succeed.
Wow. My mind is wanting to look at your last week, because I know you performed beautifully so many times, and you had a beautiful holiday gathering to raise money and to lift people up. And I remember seeing you and saying that you're a lighthouse. Not only do you have light, but you just guide so many. And I just want to thank you. It's just so beautiful.
So it means a lot.
Yeah, and hearing you play, was it even the night before last? And then, so how many times in a week, you on an average, you have a concert, it seems like more than once a week. It's
Oh,
amazing.
easily. Yeah, my touring schedule is kind of really nuts. Last year I had a concert almost every day, like for months at a time, and we went on a tour to India where we toured, like we had 13 concerts in 10 days in like so many different cities.
Oh
And
my gosh.
yeah, it's a lot. It's iron, like being Iron Man all the time. It's
Oh my
definitely
gosh.
not easy. It's not easy. But you know what? I've been very rewarded, and I really do believe in building community and building a trust and lifting artists up, because we need it. We need that. We need that light. We need that support. We need that happiness. We all need to feel human and joyous. I mean, every time I listen to just, the classics that bring me joy, Mozart Sonata or Bach Prelude and Fugue, it fills me with such incredible joy that I always feel like if I can do that for someone else, that's my gift. That is my purpose. That's what keeps me going. And so, yeah,
And you just do it in such a big way. It's just, I feel so grateful to know you and people in the community, and just thank you so much. If there's people listening,
That community, Karen. You're
oh, thank you.
everywhere, and you're so supportive. I just feel like, you're a
Oh,
light. You're
thank
a light.
you.
I feel it's just beautiful to see you. So thank you for saying that. You're a
Oh,
blessing.
no, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And
If you
even on
could,
this podcast, you got me to be on this podcast. It's amazing.
yeah, I know, it's so much
It's
fun.
wonderful.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
is. It feels like a community here. I'm grateful for everybody so much. So, for people that are looking to bring different parts of their life into harmony, could you think of a little suggestion of some way they could move in that direction, kind of as a bridge and with creativity for anyone that's looking and feels a little stuck, or in this holiday season, maybe they're having extra stress. I know you've already shared so much, but would something come to your mind of a practice or
I
just a suggestion?
meditate. Yes, I meditate a lot. And in fact, during this, season, I hosted a lot of meditation sessions in partnership with Art of Living. There's like beautiful books. Like there's a book that I recommended everybody to read by Gurudev Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, who's on the album Sounds of Kumbh, which is also nominated, that I'm a producer of. He's a spiritual leader, and he wrote a book called The Journey Within. And it's practical tips to go through life, like, what happens if you're feeling depressed, or what's happening if someone says something unkind about you, what happens, what do you have to do when you want to find that inner stillness. And I try to meditate a lot and realize and that most of the times when you get a impasse and a door closed, or someone's being not nice to you, they're having their own set of issues, and they are having a very tough time in life. And I've grown, tolerant and accepted it. I'm not lashing out in anger. I'm praying for them and accepting it. And I think prayer and focusing on that good energy is very key to your own shifting of that inner obstacle. Because if you start resenting everything and becoming angry, your own energies and creative forces dwindle. That anger and resentment cannot be there. Your heart has to be, I think, for me, pure and happy and joyous and light. And that gives me that energy to create, And so much of how we go through life is how we react to every situation, even the negative situations, even the positive situations, even the situations when we are feeling doubtful of ourselves, even the situations which causes us to be angry and lash out. We cannot. We have to be that center and stillness. And that is that discipline that comes with meditation and reinforcement that the good will prevail. That's that constant assurance that you are going to get through it. You will have that light. And maybe that's the years of training. From my dad, very early on, we used to read the Vedic scriptures together. He was always constant about that. And so it's sort of reinforced in my mind that, life is, the emotions are always changing, always going to be shifting. People are going to always react. You cannot be the one who's getting angry at every single situation. You'll be like, a pinwheel. You're going to be chasing your own tail. You have to find your center. Once you find that center, and once you meditate and find that center, really very little can shake you, that you have to become that energy rock.
I love that so much, the energy that we create, and we can kind of tune into ourselves and with
The
that
well,
feeling.
it's a well that you draw from, yes,
Yeah,
yourself.
and using all these practices. Wow, that is so beautiful. I want to share how everyone can find you and be at your performances and see you online. And how many times you performed at Carnegie Hall, the big hall?
5 times will be my sixth time next year. We're discussing
That is so cool.
a date a while,
Oh, and I suggest everyone get on your mailing list. I cannot
So if you
go to
go
all your concerts,
on
but yes.
charusuri.com, my website, there's a sign up form at the
Can you
bottom.
spell that for
And
everyone?
sure, it's CHARU, Charu, and last name Suri, SURI.com. And at the very bottom, there's a ability to put your email and your details to sign up for the mailing list.
It's exciting, and then they can find your events.
And then I'll every time I have an event, I send out a newsletter, and then I
Yeah,
post it on social channels. And
that's
I'm on
great.
Instagram at Charu Suri Music. I'm on Facebook at Charu Suri Trio. If you Google me on all platforms, I should pop up.
Oh, it's so beautiful, so inspirational, but
Thank you.
joy and peace and love and beauty. All these gifts. It's amazing. And we're going to get to experience a video. Can you introduce us and maybe set us up for how we can listen best?
Absolutely. This video is a video of my title track Cheyenne from my album that got nominated in the Contemporary Instrumental Album category of the Grammy Awards. Cheyenne is based on Raga Kalyani, which is a Lydian scale, and it's the intro track, and it's got all of these beautiful nature imagery. I think it's a great raga to calm and energize in the evening, but the way I like to listen to it is like in a place of stillness. If you want to put it on, just breathe deeply and just take in that beautiful, like Lydian scale, which is Raga Kalyani, but is also Raga Yaman and Raga Yaman Kalyani. It's like a trio of different ragas in Indian music. But it has the beautiful cello playing of Tess Remy Schumacher, the flute playing of Premik Russell Tubbs, who has
Amazing.
been with the Mahavishnu Orchestra ever since the beginning, so he really knows the straddling of East and West. And it also has the lovely vocal layers of Anita Lerke, who's a Danish singer
Yes.
collaborated with. And I used her voice as an instrument, which is why I put this album in the contemporary instrumental category. All of these voices that ended up adding are instrumental in nature. So none of them really says anything except like floating words in an instrumental way. So I would say that Cheyenne is an introduction to the beauty of the evening Raga Kalyani. So best experienced right after sunset.
Oh, that's such a beautiful gift amongst all of your many gifts. And I can't thank you enough. Oh, so excited to be able to share this.
Thank
And
you.
yeah, thank you so much. And as we head into our week, I want to invite you to bring two parts of your life into a conversation. Perhaps there's been something that's felt separate that you haven't quite understood, but look at it with curiosity and kindness. And offer acts of kindness and build connections like a bridge where there might be a distance. Your life is the most beautiful fusion, and you don't need to reinvent anything. Just expand your dreams and take the next best step. Blessings and love. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so very much for joining us on today's transformative journey. We're honored to have shared this space with you, and we hope you're feeling inspired and aligned with your highest self. For more insights, resources, and to continue your path of healing, be sure to visit KarenOlson.com, your gateway to deeper sound healing, music, and wisdom. Remember, Sound Pathways is here every other Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on BBS Radio TV, Station 1. Until next time, stay aligned, stay inspired, and let the magic of sound guide you.